You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
In this report, you speak about Cellebrite release reports, correct?
Are you referring to the Cellebrite release notes that come out?
The release notes at the bottom, right? You refer to that?
That's correct.
And that release note states that Cellebrite has removed the timestamp value from records, and I'm assuming that's a reference to Cellebrite's.
Cellebrite no longer parses that result. That is the statement in this report, correct?
Right. And so I'm going to go to page 4 of your report.
For sure. I'm there.
And I'm going to go down all the way down to the conclusion. In that report, is there reference to any company other than Cellebrite in this entire report? Is
in there? This report, no.
Okay, thank you. Now let's go to your prior testimony in the first proceeding where you said that it was important to use multiple tools.
Absolutely.
Do you still stand by your position that you've given today and that you gave in June, that it's important to use multiple tools?
Absolutely.
Now let's go back to the issue of the extraction of Jen McCabe's phone. And what I want to do is to cover a concept and see if I've got this correctly. Are you familiar with the phrase Apple source codes?
I'm sorry, can you please repeat?
No worries, sir. Are you familiar with the phrase Apple source codes?
Apple's source code? Absolutely, yes.
And isn't it a fact that Apple keeps its source codes proprietary, meaning very few people have access to it?
That's correct. It is closed source is the term we would use.
Closed source.
That would be the term of art, correct?
And they keep it so close that they call it closed source.
And it's not just Apple. Lots of tools are closed source. That just means that the code isn't available like it would be for the tool I mentioned earlier, iLeap. That's an open source tool. Anyone can look at the code. For Apple, we cannot go look at the code that makes your phone run. That's correct.
And isn't it the case, and I refer to that as the MB postulate. It's a shorthanded, but I don't need to have you refer to it that way.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that phrase? I was unfamiliar with it.
I'm going to skip it.
Okay, thank you. I'll just go on.
Basically, the concept that Apple has source codes that are closed sources. So I just refer to them as Apple's closed sources. Wouldn't the best information about when a search occurred, what it's associated with, wouldn't the best information be in the Apple source code to answer that question?
It is acceptable in digital forensic science and in accordance with the NIST Science Foundation papers to conduct testing to determine how the functionality of something works. You do not need access to the source code to be able to speak to an artifact.
My question isn't that. My question is, isn't the best place one The best place to go is to the Apple source codes themselves, or are you saying these physical analyzer tools are just as good and the information they pull is just as good as an Apple source code?
Those are very, very, those are incongruent statements. Apple source code is not a healthy way to do an examination because it would be so onerous, and we do not know the level of documentation, we don't know the language. That is not necessarily the most effective way to determine what data is. Forensics tools parse results of how data is. They don't interpret them. The examiner interprets them and provides meaning. And I would like to state that those three things should not be conflated. They are very individual concepts.
I think you misunderstood my question.
I probably did it because that's what I was seeing.
My question is this. isn't the best source for information about data in an iPhone contained within Apple source codes?
Not necessarily. Because that doesn't perform, operational performance is a better source in a practical sense to being able to determine what something is, as opposed to zillions, and no, I don't know the number because it's closed source, lines of code that may or may not have different levels of documentation. Apple themselves wouldn't be able to, any individual there who has access, wouldn't know every feature of how every element works. Testing through the methodologies described in NIST is the accepted methodology in our science, not reviewing the source code.
I'm going to try it a different way. I understand what you're saying is, if I got it correct, you correct me. Are you saying that these physical tools particularly make it easier to interpret and view the data?
I did not speak about the tools at all in the statement I just made.
Okay.
I spoke about manual testing and checking the functionality and what results. Parse tools, again, these are three separate concepts. The concept of code and actually reviewing code to make a determination is different from parse tool results, is different from doing testing and validation. Those are separate concepts. They should not be commingled as if they equate to each other.
So have you ever learned of, have you ever spoken with Mr. Whiffen?
I have spoken with Mr. Whiffen historically, but not since the term of this trial.
Okay. Have you ever spoken to Mr. Whiffen about whether the Apple source codes are the best source of information about topics like timestamps? Have you ever spoken? That's just a question.
I have not had that conversation with Mr. Whiffen, no.
Okay. All right. I want to move on to, and do you regard Mr. Whiffen is a reputable...
Mr. Whiffen is a reputable forensics examiner, and I've actually reviewed his work in other instances and peer-reviewed his papers.
So you have regard for his reputation?
I have regard for his reputation.
I'm sorry, we have to wait for each other
to
talk.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
It's all right, no worries. So you regard... I have regard for the opinions of Mr. Whiffen generally, correct?
Absolutely,
and
yes.
And you believe he has a solid reputation, correct?
Absolutely, that is correct.
Now let's turn to the HistoryDB database. You are familiar with HistoryDB? HistoryDB, are you familiar with that phrase?
I am familiar with that phrase.
Okay. Do any of the house-long searches appear in the HistoryDB?
In this instance, no. We do not have artifacts in the HistoryDB of either of those two searches.
So I want to just repeat that in a different way. So the HistoryDB, is that considered a valid and valuable source of information in an iPhone?
That is a valuable artifact for Safari history. That is correct.
But the house-long searches we've been discussing do not appear in that HistoryDB, do they?
That is correct.
You spoke about PYF, PDF on your direct testimony. Do you recall that?
I do. It's the Python framework for PDF. It is a GitHub tool, a tool one can download from GitHub to utilize to create PDFs using Python code. So a developer and a tool would integrate that to create a PDF.
And the PYF PDF can have the variables set, correct?
Yes, the Python script allows the developer to set things such as their name that they created the document, yes.
I want to go to the extraction of Jen McCabe's phone that you talked about on direct examination. Is the hash value signed or unsigned?
A hash value isn't signed. I believe your question you're asking me is if the Adobe document that contained the PDF that contained the hash values, are you asking me if that's signed? Because a hash value is something that matches. A hash value isn't signed.
Let me ask it this way. Is there any hash value associated with Jen McCabe's phone that is unsigned?
That is not a valid question. I apologize. We don't refer to hash values as being signed or unsigned. We would refer to the PDF that it's that contains that value as being signed or unsigned.
Have you ever read a report of Mr. Ian Whiffen in this case?
I have, but I have to be clear. I have not read all of Ian's reports. I've only read some, so I don't know if... I read some of his earlier reports.
Do you recall reading a report of Mr. Whiffen where he references a hash value being unsigned associated with the iPhone of Jennifer McCabe?
Can I see said report so I can validate if I did or did not? I'm not sure based on just that, because I wouldn't use the term hash value being signed. I did see a report in which Mr. Whiffen spoke to the PDF not being signed.
I just want to try to shortcut this and work off your last statement. You're now saying you do recall seeing a report of Mr. Whiffen where he said a PDF was unsigned?
I need to see. I do remember him referencing the PDF. I would need to see the report, especially since the characterization of hash value being unsigned is not a term of art that I am familiar with in our field.
Let me ask if you agree or disagree with this statement. This value can be used to compare with the original hash calculated at the time of extraction in order to validate the extraction data. However, this requires authentication of the original hash value, which is not possible with gray key extractions, as the PDF containing the extraction hash value is unsigned. Therefore, this hash value could be used as a suggestion of authentication, but cannot be guaranteed 100%. Do you agree or disagree?
His statement there says the PDF is unsigned, not that the hash value is unsigned.
Right, but it's nonetheless unsigned, correct?
The PDF is not signed. That is a correct statement. Gray key PDFs that purport that value are not an Adobe signed document.
Do you know the history from the of the extraction of Jen McCabe's phone? It's yes or no.
Can you provide more clarity? What do you mean? Do you mean from the time the image was made? Do you mean from the time the device was received? Because I don't know the information pertaining to the receipt of the device into evidence, and then when the I only have the documentation of the image forward.
Thanks.
So I want to be clear about what period we're talking about.
It's an excellent point, and I am going to follow up with some questions.
Okay.
In an extraction, doesn't the extraction from a phone start with the raw data, raw image? You tell me, when someone brings a phone in, what's the first step that gets taken in order to do a full file extraction? What's the first step?
It depends. There's got to be steps with regard to network isolation. I need to know if the device is AFU or BFU at that point. So I don't have that information from this case, if that is the question. I get from the image forward.
So what I'd like to do, and this may be my last section of questioning, I'd like you to describe the ideal situation as to getting the most reliable data from an iPhone from the start. What's the most reliable way to do it?
I would say the most reliable way is following the recently released SWIGDE Scientific Working Group on Digital Evidence, a document on best practices of evidence handling, preservation, and imaging. I may have that title slightly out of order, but it is the document released this January.
And tell me what that is.
Sure. In that, the first thing, from which point are we starting? Are we starting like extracting the data using a tool, or are we talking on scene, taking the device into evidence?
The latter.
Okay. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to ensure that you are isolating the device. This is also going to depend on condition from the network. So typically this would be done with a Faraday enclosure in a best practice. However, there are alternative ways of isolating from the network, such as disabling all of the communication protocols, such as Wi-Fi, airplane mode, etc. The next step, once you've isolated, but prior to, you also want to make sure you're continuing battery stat. So if a device is on, you want to keep it powered on. If it's off, you want to keep it powered off. That's a general statement. So the best way to do that is to attach a battery charger. Just like when your battery runs low, you plug in a charger in the back of these battery packs. We do that with that before we put it in the Faraday bag. A Faraday bag is an enclosure that blocks signals from coming to the device. This is so a remote wipe command couldn't be sent, or so that more data isn't received to the phone, because phones are live and constantly obtaining data. So we're going to have it with a battery pack in the Faraday, presuming it was on. Again, I don't know the status of this device. The next steps are going to depend on what state that device is, and what make and model that device is, and what the current support for that device is. There are multiple types of extraction methods of phones. In the modern day on iOS, a full file system image, what we had on the devices in question in this case, is considered the gold standard because it has the most robust information. So at this point, the next question is what's the best image type? And that's going to depend on if we have a passcode or if we don't have a passcode.
If I could,
please,
and I'm going to allow you to continue.
Yeah, please.
I want to break it down for the jury. So what I now want to do, you've stopped at a certain point, but you've talked about securing, what I would call securing the phone, right? And then making sure that there's no data swipes. You talked about airplane mode, Faraday bag, Faraday box, right? Do you know whether any of those protocols were followed for either the iPhone of Jen McCabe or John O'Keefe?
As I mentioned, I was not there for those processes. I don't have documentation of it. As mentioned, what started where my receipt of the device is from the image.
Exactly. So you don't know.
I can't testify to processes I did not or was not available or aware of.
Fair enough. But do you have a little bit of hint as to whether the phone of Mr. John O'Keefe was properly secured in airplane mode, a Faraday bag, or a Faraday box, based upon your own report of the iPhone of John McCabe? Can you determine that from page 5 of your report?
Obviously, there is data signals that are still being made and created. I believe that is what you're referring to. So the assumption is that I don't know at which point a Faraday bag is employed, but I also want to be clear. I don't know when, I don't have information outside of the digital forensics realm about this case, so I don't know precisely when the phone was taken into custody by law enforcement.
Fair enough. So assume that Mr. O'Keefe was deceased around the latest 9 a.m. on January 29th, 2022. Isn't there activity on that phone, health data activity, up to around noon of January 29th?
Health data activity would continue to be reported regardless of if the device was isolated from the network or not. Health data has to do with the movement of the device, so if the device was being moved even within a Faraday bag, that data would still be populated.
How about location data?
Location data is unlikely to be reported in a device that is Faraday enclosed, but I do not know what location data you're referring to, so I cannot speak in absolutes without having a better reference to the artifacts in question. If you're saying it's in my report, I'll look at it, but again, I never knew when the phone was seized, so it was not part of my initial analysis. Do I have permission to look at that time, Matt?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. So bear with me, it's a big report, as you know.
It is a big report.
And it was at the bottom of my stack.
Pardon me?
All right. It was at the bottom of my stack. I had to lift up the other ones to find it. All right, so.
Your Honor, may I assist and point her to a page?
Sure.
That'd be
Thank
great.
You. If you could turn to that report on your page 47, Mm-hmm. And continue on to page 50.
I do see incoming data that is consistent with the device not being ferreted, such as the receipt of SMS messages, notifications from Ring, et cetera.
So, the iPhone of Mr. O'Keefe was not secured in the manner you described before we got to this, as would be the best practice with regard to getting the most accurate data from a phone. That is, once it comes in, that it's to either be put in airplane mode, Faraday bag, or Faraday box. That's correct. By your own report, you see activity.
I do see activity. It was not Faradayed. Faraday prevents wiping of the device and additional data. So actually, in this instance, it doesn't appear that the device was at risk of wipe because it was not wiped. And we actually have more data because we get to see the data that continued to come into the device. I'm not saying that's in accordance with best practice. I'm saying that that's what I see based off of what you just had me review in the data.
It sounds like you're trying to justify.
Oh, I'm not trying to justify.
You tell me. It sounds like you're trying to justify the fact it wasn't secured. Am I correct?
No, you're incorrect. I'm just stating we have, you asked if we had more data or less data. We actually have more data with it not being Faradayed. But no, best practice would be to Faraday.
I
100% agree.
My question wasn't, is there more or less data? My question was simply, doesn't your own report show activity up until noon on January 29, 2022.
Correct. And for clarity, my scope was till noon, so I don't know if there was activity beyond that.
Right. But as far as your scope goes, I want to be clear.
Yep.
There is activity on
Absolutely.
This phone.
Absolutely.
Which
phone
shows that it was not put in airplane mode, it was not put in a Faraday bag, and it was not put in a Faraday box. And that failure is not best practice.
Correct. Right. It is not in accordance
Thank
with
you.
The best practices. I agree. I would have Faradayed it.
Thank you. So,
if I, you know, presuming
that's okay. I have no further questions. Thank you for answering my questions, Ms. Hyde.
Thank you for your questions. Have a great day.
Ring, redirect.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
You're welcome.
You were asked when you began working on analyzing phones in this case, and you said it was in May. Was that May of 2023?
May of 2023. May 4th, 2023 is the email I have of a note. Thank you. Yes. It's easy to remember because May the 4th be with you.
When you first were asked to begin work on this case in May of 2023, what was the catalyst for you to begin working on this?
I was contacted by Mr. Tully and then contracted, a SAO was signed, and I began work on the initial request to look at those two search terms on January 29th. Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Okay.
Was there a certain claim that was lodged that you were to focus on?
I was to focus on the two search terms from January 29th, 2022.
And were you informed why? Was there any context to that?
Probably. I don't recall the exact conversation that I had with the DA's office and Lieutenant Tully at that time, but I'm assuming that I was given that context. I have in my notes that I was to look at those two searches on that date and do an analysis about those.
Were you asked to reach any particular result?
No, I was asked to provide my report, not to reach a particular result.
Were you asked to reach a conclusion that the 227 timestamp was inaccurate?
No.
When you engaged in your analysis, was it independent of the district attorney's office?
my analysis was independent of the district attorney's office. I actually, in the first case, had very little communication with the district attorney's office during the period of my analysis.
Was there any input from any outside source on what your result or ultimate opinions would be?
No.
Would you ever allow anybody to affect your input?
No.
Throughout the course of your efforts with this phone, have there been changes to software?
Absolutely. As mentioned on direct, software updates are near monthly.
I want to ask you about changes to the Cellebrite software. You were asked about certain reports you wrote. Were the reports that you wrote relative to different requests for analysis?
Yes.
The report regarding report number 3, regarding changes to Cellebrite software, was that report limited to the timestamp change or was it to include other efforts?
The scope of that report, may I review what I have documented as
Please.
The scope? I believe we're talking about report 2, that's the one about the Cellebrite change?
Yes.
And I have the request was to understand changes made in the newer version of Cellebrite Physical Analyzer to artifacts pertaining to the timeline of a particular Google search on January 29, 2022, namely How's Long to Die in Cold.
When you looked at the Cellebrite software and report, was the timestamp characterization changed or removed?
Yes, it was removed. That timestamp in the version starting in May of 2024, Cellebrite actually removed that, and they put a release note stating that it was due to the ambiguity and potential for misconstruing the meaning of that data.
Was there any other releases informing other reasons why that was changed other than the potential that somebody could misconstrue, misinterpret, or distort the information?
Can I read Cellebrite's own statement?
Please.
Cellebrite's statement in...
To yourself.
To myself? Okay, roger that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Can you repeat the question?
Could you share with us, was there any reason other than the concern about misinterpreting or distorting?
They said that the...
So what's your understanding?
My understanding is that it is not a reliable timestamp, and that is why Cellebrite removed it.
You were asked about Axiom. Axiom, is it the same or different?
Magnet Axiom and Cellebrite Physical Analyzer are two different tools that both do forensic analysis of mobile phones.
You were asked whether Axiom still has a timestamp that was similar to Cellebrite before the change.
Axiom shows what I spoke to on direct, where they have it as a parsed versus carved result. And so that particular result shows in the suspended state DB artifact as carved.
Do companies like Axiom and Cellebrite give releases, updates, information about how to interpret their reports?
So Axiom actually has a document that's released with it called the Artifact Reference Guide. And that actually gives a brief description of the fields and of artifacts. All tools, when they release new artifacts, they put out in a release note. Not all artifacts are clearly documented that are parsed. However, all of the vendors regularly put out webinars and blog posts that explain their new artifacts, but not necessarily all.
Is there any releases or cautions from Axiom on the same issue about misinterpreting a timestamp?
Axiom, in their artifact reference guide for this artifact, does speak to the possibility of misinterpretation and states that the timestamp can be earlier than the search had occurred, based on what different reasons could cause that timestamp.
Let me ask you about a Faraday bag. You said that best practices is to isolate an item in a Faraday bag.
That's correct.
Do you have any information or did you know the travel of Mr. O'Keefe's phone that night or where it went after?
I'm sorry, can you clarify the time period?
On January 29, 2022 from say 6:04 in the morning until later that afternoon.
I did not have access to that information.
When you analyze data from certain devices, are they always placed in a Faraday bag immediately after an incident?
There's a lot of times when this is situation dependent. An example of when you would not put something in a Faraday bag is when you have a deceased victim and you're going to be using their biometrics to possibly unlock the device. Because a Faraday bag is enclosed and then can't be opened, if your intent, if you don't have the password, is to use a deceased person's fingerprint to unlock the phone, we don't want to put the person's finger in the Faraday bag, so usually those phones would not be Faradayed, but they would typically have airplane mode enabled or SIM card removed. But no, SIM card removed doesn't actually work on iOS, so I won't get into that.
Understanding or having the opinion that this item was not placed in a Faraday bag at 6:04 in the morning, does that in any way affect your opinions about the data that you analyzed on this phone and the conclusions that you reached regarding Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
It does not have any impact on the conclusions other than the fact that it wasn't Faradayed and more data came in. So we have additional data.
You were asked a very specific question about HistoryDB, and it was simply whether or not how's long to die in cold, whether it appeared in HistoryDB. That isolated question, does that provide any context for you and your analysis and conclusions about how long to die in cold and that it occurred at 6:23 and 6:24 the next morning?
The absence of the HistoryDB artifact doesn't mean that that search didn't occur at that time. We have multiple corroborating artifacts, which is usually what we look for, two artifacts that demonstrate is like very good. You don't necessarily need that, but in this instance, we have both from the Mobile Safari plist, which tracks the history, as well as the Knowledge CDB. So we do have two artifacts showing that those searches were done at that time. Of course, 6 seconds apart for the difference between the Knowledge C and the Mobile Safari plist.
On direct examination, you were not asked questions about Mr. O'Keefe's phone.
That is correct.
You were on cross-examination, so let me follow up. You have a report that you authored regarding Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
That is correct.
And you had an opportunity to look at the healthcare data for January 29, 2022.
That is correct.
Page 6 of your report.
Thank you.
You noted that there were steps that began at 12:11:09 a.m. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
And the way healthcare data works, do you have an understanding whether steps means a person actually took a number of steps, or does it mean something else?
Steps doesn't necessarily mean that you took a number of steps. It's based on the motion of the device. So it could be steps, it could be you're carrying it, it could be that you're in some other kind of motion, you could be on a bicycle, you could, any number of things. It's, and the number of steps is based on the presumed gait, based on the input into the Apple Health app, in terms of gender and height. So it determines a gait and then prescribes a number of steps, but it is possible for other things to cause steps to occur.
You were asked specifically if you saw that there were reported movement or health steps at 12:21:10 a.m. and specifically pointed out to you notation or characterization of 80 steps. Is that accurate?
That is what's stored in the database. I try to clarify, as I did for you, sir, that that's what's stored in the database. I'm not saying that 80 steps were taken.
And by the way, in addition to the healthcare analysis, you did some analysis on the movement of a car, didn't you?
I'm going to deny that question.
Well, can these health steps occur if somebody's holding a phone while traveling in a car?
As mentioned in my report, it's caused by motion. It could be various motions that could cause it. You could be using an elliptical, you could be in a vehicle, you could be on a bicycle. It's not necessarily steps taken.
Based on your analysis of Mr. O'Keefe's phone and the report that was pointed out to you on cross-examination, and do you have information or opinion where Mr. O'Keefe's phone was located around 12:21:10 while those steps registered.
Objection, Your Honor.
Scope.
I think that's beyond the scope of the cross, Mr.
It was pointed out to you at 12:21:10 there was a registered 80 steps. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. And then you were also asked about the last healthcare data, the last movements of this phone. And it was pointed out that began at 12:31:56 for 20 seconds?
That's correct, per the data in the database.
And that is that the last movement of Mr. O'Keefe's phone that evening before 6:04 that you saw when you analyzed the entire data in the phone?
May I have one moment to review?
Yes.
That appears to be the last before the 6 a.m. hour.
So that 20 seconds, if it began at 12:31:56, what was the last movement in seconds in time at that time of Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
Yes, if that was a 20-second interval at 12:31:56, what was the last second that evening that Mr. O'Keefe's phone moved?
12:32:16.
And then when you analyzed the phone and were asked about these times, is there any movement between that last movement and 6:04:01?
Between the 12:32?
Yes, 12:32:16 and 6:04:01. Any movement of that phone whatsoever?
I do not have anything supporting that in my report.
Do you know what was going on with Mr. O'Keefe's phone at 6:04:01 a.m. on the morning of January 29, 2022?
I do not know precisely what was happening with his phone at that time in terms of movement, if that's, or are you asking me, I'm sorry, can you clarify what you mean
yes.
by the question?
The next movement after 12:32
is the 6:04:01
Correct. A.M.
Correct.
Do you have any information about where or why there was movement of the phone at that time?
I don't. That wouldn't be inside my digital evidence, I don't believe.
And the last question is, the next movement at 6:15:14, do you know if that phone was being moved by somebody or somebody else than Mr. O'Keefe?
The phone was in motion. I do not know if it could be by a person, it could be on a rail car. I don't think it was on a rail car, for clarity, but I don't know what is causing that motion at that time.
Thank you very much.
Any follow-up, Mr.
Yes, please, Your Honor.
We have a moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Redd. Your notes.
Oh, thank you.
Ms. Hyde, you were asked questions by Mr. Brennan just moments ago about Cellebrite and release notes. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
And did Cellebrite, beyond stating that their opinion was the 2:20:40 a.m. timestamp was not reliable, did they give any reason at all for why they concluded it was not reliable in that? I'm sorry, we'll wait for the...
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I'll repeat the question for you.
Thank you.
May I, Your Honor? Thank you. In that release note, does Cellebrite state any reason for why they wrote not a reliable timestamp?
There are other published,
I'm sorry, my question is,
Celebrite?
Did they state in the release note whether there's a reason for why they concluded?
May I look at the release note, ma'am? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Your Honor.
And please try not to talk.
I will.
Sorry,
Your Honor.
Thank you.
Not asking you to read it, just asking whether or not they give any reason for the conclusion, not a reliable timestamp.
One moment, I'd like to review what they wrote.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, they do. They state that further research since is the reason that they're doing it, that there is further research.
Do they state what that research is?
They don't, but...
All right, but they don't state what the further research is.
That is correct. They
state
that it's unreliable.
All right, now what I'd like to do is move on to Axiom.
Mm-hmm.
You were asked questions by Attorney Brennan, and you referred to Axiom as using a different parlance of with the timestamp of carved, correct?
Celebrite uses this deleted demarcation or recovered demarcation. Axiom does not do that at all. They speak to how they recovered the artifact, be it that it was parsed. When I say parsed, I mean the item was where it was expected to be in the algorithm, found it, located it, and said it's here, versus carved, which is when they have to go into an unexpected area, such as slack space, which would be the areas that are not yet used or were previously used to extract the data from that.
So Axiom actually recovers the timestamp, but Celebrite does not. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes, Celebrite,
okay.
Currently, previously, when we did the first case.
Right, but currently, Celebrite doesn't, but Axiom does. Axiom
correct.
Recovers 2:27:40 a.m., correct? Timestamp?
That is the timestamp that they show for that artifact,
exactly.
Correct.
So now I'd like to go back to the next topic, our discussion about Mr. O'Keefe's phone and secured or not. You talked about one example of maybe needing to use a biometric to unlock a phone, and that might be a reason, as I understand it, as to why someone might not put it in a Faraday bag or box. Do I have that correct?
Correct.
Okay, do you know whether the passcode was immediately provided on the phone of Mr. O'Keefe?
I do not have that information.
Assume that the passcode was immediately provided for the phone of Mr. O'Keefe. Can you think of any other reason why that phone wouldn't be put in airplane mode, Faraday bag, or Faraday box?
Best practice would be to put it in a Faraday bag.
Okay.
Sorry.
And that phone was obviously not put in airplane mode, Faraday box, or Faraday bag after 6:04 a.m. on January 29, 2022, correct?
Correct.
Now let's go to...
Well, I don't know if at some point past 12 o'clock. My report only goes to noon, so just for clarity, I don't know anything past noon.
Fair enough, but from 6:04 a.m. until approximately noon,
correct,
on January 29, 2022, at least that time, that phone is not in airplane mode in a Faraday bag or a Faraday box, correct?
It would appear such. Because I didn't analyze past that, I don't know if it had been potentially Faradayed and then it broke Faraday and got data, but I don't suspect that based on this. It appears that that data was live. But I just have to speak to the fact that I just don't know because I didn't go past noon.
Right, but you're going past noon.
Right.
I'm not.
Okay,
my
yeah.
question,
6 a.m.
And I'm
noon. It does not appear to be Faraday.
So, to be clear, from 6:04 a.m. on January 29, 2022, until at least noon of January 29, 2022, the iPhone of Mr. O'Keefe is not in airplane mode, it's not in a Faraday bag, and it's not a Faraday box, correct?
unless it was in a broken Faraday bag, like they put it and it was failing. But that, it does not appear to have been placed in Faraday bag.
All right.
I'm just being honest. You should test your Faraday bags. They go bad. I use Dr. Katz testing methodology. But 100%, it appears to have been receiving signal for that entire period and not in a Faraday bag, which would be best practice unless biometrics were needed.
So let's now go to hopefully what are the last two categories of questions. With regard to the iPhone of Jen McCabe, do you have any knowledge as to whether over 200 calls were auto-deleted on her phone? You analyzed it.
We can see that calls were auto-deleted. You're asking me if the number of, I just want to make sure I understand the question. If the number of calls that were auto-deleted, if that exceeded 200?
My question is, do you know whether there was auto-deletions on Jen McCabe's phone?
I'm uncomfortable with the term auto-deletions because I don't know what that is inferring.
Okay. Did you analyze her phone at all for deletions?
I analyzed her phone to see if there had been deletions of call logs, and what I found was that there were records that were removed by the system and not recoverable from that database, but were recoverable from biomes.
Understood. Now what I'd like to do is to address your answer in response to Mr. Brennan's questions, where you said that the issue with regard to Mr. O'Keefe's, or just generally your proposition, that there was no impact on your conclusion because more data had been obtained. Did I get that correct?
I believe my statement was there was no impact on my conclusion with the fact that it had not been in a Faraday.
Right. So isn't it, though, the case that when a phone's not in a Faraday and is therefore active, data can be overwritten?
Yes.
So if data can be overwritten when it's not in a Faraday, you can lose that data, correct?
Is there data that we're concerned? Yes, theoretically.
Right.
Yes.
You talked about, in response to Attorney Brennan, the 12-31-56 steps, and you said the last, according to you, last movement, 12-32-16. Do you recall those questions?
I recall the questions.
Yeah. To boil it down, isn't correct that phone was moving at that time?
May I check the timestamp again?
Absolutely.
I apologize. There's a lot of timestamps going back and forth.
Please do.
12-31-56? Is that
that's the start. Yep.
Oh, yes, this one there definitely is. Yes, yes, yes.
So, does it matter what kind of movement, but that phone was moving starting at 12:31:56 and still moving until 12:32:16 a.m. on January 29, 2022, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate again you answering my questions.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Hyde, you're all set.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, I see counsel about scheduling here. First, feel free to stand up and speak.
May I?
Yes.
I would like to play clip 15, please.
Good absolutely more than Jen McCain. Jen McCain, it's me or her. Either I'm going down, Jen, or you are.
Okay. All right. So, folks, I talked to the lawyers briefly about scheduling at sidebar, and I'm told we're actually ahead of schedule. So with that, rather than beginning a witness who's probably going to take a while, we may as well let you go and enjoy the rest of this beautiful afternoon. So we're on schedule, ahead of schedule. We'll reevaluate that tomorrow. And I will see the lawyers at sidebar as the jurors walk out to talk a little bit about scheduling. Okay, same cautions, please. Do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know. And be very careful with your social media use. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you.
All right, to the court, please. Close your notebooks and follow me.
Why don't you come on up?
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.